The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Our specialist teams are there to support you so you can keep your business going and growing.
But first, let's turn to an extraordinary economic story in the UK yesterday, a £45 billion mini budget. Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng has decided to abolish the top 45% tax rate on income, cut the standard rate by 1%, reverse previous tax raising measures. It's the biggest fiscal gamble in 50 years, according to some commentators over there, and the pound fell to a 37-year low against the dollar. The Financial Times called it a mini budget for people on maxi incomes. But my favourite headline is the one that says, in a special fiscal operation, Kwarteng and Truss hit the pound running. Well, what impact will it have on the UK economy and for us in turn here? We're joined by economist at Blue Bay Asset Management, Timothy Ash, and economist John Fitzgerald. You're both very welcome. Timothy, if I could start with you. This has been described as a huge gamble. Are you worried? You're not reaching for another passport or anything like that, are you?
Well, I have an Irish great grandmother. I'd love an Irish passport on the back of that.
Sound like you've really checked it out there, Timothy.
This is really dangerous. I mean, I think, you know, it's very un-Thatcherite in terms of, you know, tax cuts but funded by borrowing. And the question is, will the market fund it? And I don't think they will, because I think there's fundamental problems about the UK post-Brexit, collapse of trade, credibility of the political establishment and policy. And we saw that yesterday. I mean, a massive increase in gilt yields. And the problem here is, you know, it's about going for growth, tax cuts to generate growth. But if it means an increase in borrowing and the Bank of England has to raise rates, also defend the pound, you won't get growth. So I think it just doesn't add up. And I think there's a massive risk of a systemic crisis in the UK.
Yeah, systemic crisis, a risk. But when you say that you don't think the bond market will fund it, what happens? What does that look like and what does that mean?
Well, I mean, we're in uncharted territory, I mean, for the UK. I mean, you know, we think of sovereign debt crisis in emerging Europe, you know, Greece, Italy, all those kind of countries. I mean, I am very, very worried about the UK now. The collapse of sterling, again, Bank of England will have to raise rates. You know, will the UK be able to fund itself? I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. And as I said, usually, on the back of tax cuts, the markets love it in the UK. And we had the opposite reaction yesterday. And I think, you know, in the end, the financial markets kind of get it. I mean, this just doesn't add up. I mean, that's the reality. And it's as you said, huge gamble, very dangerous. We're all very worried in financial markets about this.
John Fitzgerald, how would you characterise that gamble and that risk and what it might mean for us if things went really, really wrong?
Well, I totally agree. I can't say anything more on this. Is really concerning. It's not sustainable. The UK is borrowing already abroad 7%. Their balance payments deficit was 8% in the second quarter.
And that deficit is the difference between what they export and sell abroad and what they take in and buy from abroad.
And if you don't export as much as you import, you're going to have to borrow. And they're already borrowing huge amounts. This budget is going to add probably 5% points onto their borrowing. Their 2% for the taxes and 3% for the cap on electricity prices. The bulk, with more going to the rich than the poor in each case. And where are they going to get the money? That's what Timothy's talking about.
Well, on that point about more going to the rich than the poor, John, so some of the figures are extraordinary. It's a £45 billion budget. 45% of it, according to some estimates, so I don't know, around £22 billion, will go to the top 5%. Somebody on £1 million a year would be 55,000 better off, and somebody on 20,000 a year would be £157 better off.
Yeah, and then their cap on electricity prices, more of that money is going to go to the rich than the poor, because the rich use more electricity. So it really is, in distributional terms and in terms of London is doing well, and the rest of the country is doing badly. This is not pretty divisive.
Timothy, what about that point, you know, for example, that this is a reversal of decisions that were made under the last government about, you know, increasing national insurance and deciding to put up corporation tax? They're not going to do that now. What about the levelling up agenda and the point John makes about London versus the rest of the country? They can't level up if they don't have the money to spend.
Well, look, I'm in the city. I'm a beneficiary of the tax cuts that have been or will be rolled out. And I can tell you, no one in the city is complaining about high tax rates or the cap and bankers bonuses, right? I mean, this is not an issue. This is not why international business doesn't want to relocate or locate in the city. International business doesn't want to locate in the city because of all the structural problems that have been created by Brexit. I mean, there's a skill shortage in the UK, which is because of years of underinvestment in education, transport, housing, to make people want to work and locate in London, but also Brexit. I mean, Brexit has seen a huge departure of skilled European workers because of racism. Essentially, Brexit is a racist project that makes foreigners feel unwelcome in the UK. And this is a big misdiagnosis of the problem.
Well, I'm sure a lot of Brexiteers would say that it's not aimed at doing that, and that's far from being its intention, and that this is actually part of the delivery of the so-called Brexit dividend.
Well, going back to what I said before, I mean, they've got to fund it, and the market doesn't buy it, so they can't fund it. And the catastrophic declines we saw in gilts or gilt prices and the pound, suggests, they don't buy it, right? They're not going to fund it. So that means they're not going to get the growth target, and there's going to be a huge financing shortfall. So ultimately, they're going to have to go back on what they do, and likely they will have to increase taxes and cut spending because the market won't fund it. And that means that's bad for growth. So probably this is going to make the UK growth story worse and probably a deeper recession.
Okay.
Because it's just... Sorry, go.
Just going to bring in John Fitzgerald here. John, is there another scenario here? What if they, not so much that they have this right, what if they get lucky? What if it does actually give a little bit of a short-term boost in growth? What if gas prices don't go up by as much, so the cap doesn't end up costing them as much as people thought, and they're in a position to come out of recession more quickly?
I don't see, gas prices are not going to go back to where they were unless Putin says sorry and all is forgiven. So this is, the question is, there will be a stimulus to growth in the UK economy, will probably grow next year as a result of this, if they can survive. But I think the point is where they're going to get the money. And they're
when you say survive, I mean, this is like something back in the 1970s.
Yeah, I really worry.
You remember that.
I really worry about it. In the 1970s, I was a civil servant in the Department of Finance, and I went as note taker with Maurice Doyle to a meeting of the high-level OECD meeting in November 76. The UK had applied, the UK government had pursued identical policies, spending money they didn't have. They ran out of money in the summer of 1976, had to go to the IMF, which was humiliating. But it was the meeting in November when Greenspan was the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisor. Tietmar went on to be head of the Bundesbank, but he was number two in the German finance ministry. The language they used about the British government, the humiliation of having to seek the support of the outside world because they couldn't borrow. And that was a government in the face of the oil crisis in 73, 74. They borrowed, paid no attention to where they're going to get the money, ran a large balance payments deficit, and they ran out of road within 2 years. Whether this Conservative government will run out of road before the next election, I think they will. But they will run out of road.
This all matters to us in Ireland in terms of the Irish economy. British tourists, their number one market coming to Ireland. We have a lot of exports to the UK. What does it mean for us?
It means a bit, but I think it is more our friends live in Britain. And to see the British economy being messed up in this way. Like, I have a daughter in the NHS. This is, for me, the future of the British economy is important to me. The Irish economy only exports 9% to the UK. So at this stage, if they crash and burn, it will affect us. It will, but I think it is more the upset of seeing this unnecessary damage being done to a friend. That's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. John Fitzgerald, economist, and Timothy Ash, economist with Blue Bay Asset Management. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.